Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, everyone. And once again, the gremlins are in the machines, as you can tell. We now have a PowerPoint projector on that side. We do have one on this side. Tomorrow morning, I'm glad to announce that we will be starting our work in here on the sound system. The electrician's going to be here doing some work and getting us, hopefully, to fix some of these bugs in the machine. So every week, we notice that we've had some sound glitches and projection problems, so we do encourage you to help us with our capital campaign. We're still raising money to do that, so if any way you can help us out with that, we prayerfully consider giving us a hand with that. But good morning, as you can see, we will carry on, regardless of any setbacks that we have. So I would like to welcome you. You have connect cards in your bulletins. Pull them out if you're new with us today. This is the way we can get our information from you. If you need to on our mailing list or if you need any information from us, some information or whatever. I know there are some new people with us today. Welcome, Barbara and Jean. Glad you're with us this morning. That's great. Barbara attended the last weekend that I served on a couple of weeks ago, so it's nice to see her with us this morning. Welcome. We're glad you're here. A reminder, our announcements have been on PowerPoint if you've been able to watch that, but we are going to our baseball faith night at Roger Dean Stadium next Saturday night. I do have some tickets, so if anyone is interested, I think we have maybe six or eight people signed up to go to that. We will make arrangements to get folks rides that don't want to drive all the way up to Roger Dean up to Jupiter. So if you could, let us know, let myself know, or call Carol in the office tomorrow. That would be great. We would appreciate that. So let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thursday, the first time in my life, I attended choir practice.
talk. The reason I've never attended is I've been told that I can't carry a tune. But I'm going to tell you, even if you can't carry a tune, and I always hate to say this because, like, you know, it's also be that special place in Bahamas, digital radio for everybody. But let me tell you, there's a special thing that happens every Thursday night, and that is choir practice. It was like a mini Bible study, but the best thing of all, it was fun, and we are so blessed to have Wendell. And I'm going to embarrass the heck out of him, but we are blessed. We're blessed to have the choir. So, hymn number 103 this morning.
Spirit is here and the power is real. Where are you at today?
In church.
You're at church. Today is the church's birthday.
Happy birthday, church.
Do you know why today is church's birthday?
Why?
Not this building, the church. The church from the very beginning. The first time they had church, let's say. Why? On this day, there was about 120 people in a room sharing a meal. And something happened. Did you ever hear the story of the blowing wind, the rushing wind coming into the room, and then the flames above everyone's heads? Did you ever hear that story? That's the first day that the church, that was the day that the church was born. Because you know what happened on that day?
The fire.
The fire was above everyone's head. The Holy Spirit came in. The Holy Spirit came into all those folks who were in that room. And they all started speaking languages that there was people from all over that spoke different languages. So when this Holy Spirit came over people, they were able to speak other folks' languages. That's pretty incredible, huh? Now I have two languages. You have four languages, you said, right? Three? Do you have more than one language? Spanish a little bit. Well, I'm bilingual too. You know what I speak? I speak a little bit of English, but I speak
Australian.
I speak hillbilly. Hillbilly English. There you go. Now my wife, she has two languages, Spanish and English. I have two languages, English and hillbilly. So sometimes we don't communicate that well. Sometimes I wish the Holy Spirit would come and fill me so I could understand what she was saying and she could understand what I was saying. Amen. Amen. Amen from back there, right? So this birthday in the church is when the Holy Spirit came to the people, and that's when they got the fire within them to go out and preach the gospel to other people. That's the start of the church. Because that's what we do, right? People come here to church, and then we go out and meet them out in the community or help them do things. And they learn about the church, and they learn about God, right? So our job today is the same job that those first 120 people that were in that room. We continue the job that they started. And that's the birthday of the church. That's pretty awesome, right? So after a while, when we go across the way and we have some snacks, we're going to have to sing happy birthday to the church. Okay? Deal? I don't know. We have cake. There's muffins.
Birthday.
I don't know about cake.
It's a birthday. There's a cake.
All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the day that we can celebrate the birthday of the church, Pentecost. You came and you filled those first believers with your Holy Spirit. Today we are seeking that same Holy Spirit feeling to fill each of us. Father, you have given us a job to do, to go out and preach the good news to the world. So Father, just bless us now as we go out and we do what you call each of us to do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all very much. We also have a honor today to recognize a couple of young ladies that are actually graduating that are with us today. Janae and Shantae, you can come forward. Because what I would like to do is have people that have supported them and loved them, their family, to come forward, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray over them this morning for what God has in store for their future. So their family, any friends, anybody that wants to come up here and be with them as we now send them out into the big wide world. That can be a scary thing. But I would like to read a little bit of their background, and I'm going to start with a couple that are not here today. Thomas Alexander Knapp graduated from Southmore High School in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He will be attending Oklahoma State University and has not declared a major as of yet. Thomas is the son of Mark Knapp of Oklahoma and the grandson of Beverly Knapp. Congratulations, Grandma. Congratulations. And we also have graduating from high school, Madeline May Hartman. She graduated from Lake Braddock High School in Burke, Virginia. She is planning on attending Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia, and has not declared a major as of yet. Madeline is the daughter of Edward and Aaron Hartman of Virginia, and the granddaughter of Maurice and Beverly Hartman. Marty and Beverly. Mm-hmm. So, we're glad to say thank you to North Carolina. I'm sure they're celebrating the fact that their granddaughter has graduated from high school. Now, for our own. Boy, this is great. Our first graduate, Shantae, right here on the end. Everyone knows Shantae. These girls have grown up in this church. And just since I've been here, it's been awesome to watch them progress and grow and move on now. They're going out into the big world. So let me tell you a little bit about what's going on with Shantae. She graduated from West Boca High School. She will be attending Palm Beach State College with plans to continue on to Florida International University. Shantae is aspiring to be a registered nurse and has already achieved state certification in certified phlebotomist, certified clinical medical assistant, certified medical assistant, certified clinical laboratory assistant, certified EKG, and emergency medical responder. Shantae is the daughter of Michael and Evelyn Garrett. She graduated from Lake Worth Community High School. She also will be attending Palm Beach State College and plans to study nursing.
All right.
Awesome. Janae is the daughter of Christina Harden and granddaughter of Thomas and Jane Harden. Continue to lift up Bill Carpenter as he is continuing his radiation and chemotherapy treatments. He has seen remarkable improvement in the pain level has gone away considerably since he started his radiation. So that is a praise and a prayer for Bill. We continue to lift up Tom Harden as he has now had his stem cell harvesting and waiting to move on in the next step in that process as well. So continue to lift up Tom this morning. It's nice to see Mary Ann Davis back in church. She's feeling a lot better after taking a break from the chemotherapy. It's taking a toll on her. So Beverly, Mary Ann, we're glad to see you here this morning. And Beverly, you as well. Your continued recovery and recuperation from your surgery. Karen is back with us in the back there. We are so glad to see her. She has had a remarkable recovery as well from surgery, and we are so glad to have you back in church today, Karen. Also lifting up this morning, June, is that Frenoff? Irene Frenoff, okay. And family, her father is in hospice, so lift them up. Continued prayers for Jesse and Kat and Casey. This is the first I've heard of this. Wanda Bell is in JFK. So we will check her this afternoon and see how she's doing. We lift up Wanda Bell this morning. And the granddaughter, Miranda Spindweber. She has health concerns and tests going on. So just lift up Miranda this week in your prayers. Hannah, for healing, 15-year-old girl, prayers for her. Rose, who is recuperating from back surgery, and Nicole, one of the PH kids with complications, and so the heart condition that Kat also has, it's someone that the Chanel's know. Praise of Katie, who got her heart-lung transplant, got her there for the first time, so that's an awesome milestone for her as well. So another, I take it that's a child, Sally, is that a young child?
Yes,
so that is amazing. So just keep Katie and her family lifted up in prayers. We have a praise for all the wonderful and faithful people in this church. They do so much and are blessed. So that's a praise for each and every one of you this morning. So I know there's a lot on your hearts this morning that you bring before the Lord. So as we now go before the Lord in prayer, it's time for you to bring your requests and your praises as well. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are thankful to be in your house this morning, Father, on the birthday of your church. You have come in a mighty rushing wind. And Father, we continue today to carry on the mission that you gave that first church. Those that were anointed with the Holy Spirit have continued to live on in us as we now go about your work in the world. Father, we lift up all those mentioned here this morning, Father. We are so grateful to have an opportunity to bring them to you. Father, we know that you are a healing God. Father, we know that you can move us beyond this worldly discomfort and pain and take us into glory. So, Father, we lift these folks up today for healing and comfort and peace, that their lives would be filled with the Holy Spirit and they would know that you surround them. Father, this morning we pray for our church and the life of our church and the things that go on here. Father, as we reach out to our community, let us not forget those within. Father, let us be here for each other in a community of faith, that you have brought us together for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve the world as well as serve one another. So, Father, we are grateful. We are grateful people. We're grateful for the United States, the nation that we can live in and worship freely. Father, we ask your blessing upon our government, upon our country, and upon our leaders. Father, that your discernment would be the first avenue in making decisions. Father, we lift up our military this morning. Wherever they may be serving, that they would feel your presence and know that they will be coming home soon to be with their family and friends. Father, we ask safety for them and safe return back to their loved ones. So, Father, we just ask your blessing upon us today, on our worship service, on the words of God spoken here today, would fill our hearts with that burning fire to go out and tell others, Lord. Our commandment is simple. Share the good news. Father, give each of us the power, the wisdom, and the courage to do just that. So, Father, on this Pentecost, the birthday of your church, we ask your blessing. And as we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples, let us remember the work that you have given us to do. Let us pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory of the world. Amen.
Thank you. you would send us out into the world for the work of your kingdom. Father, we ask your blessing upon us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
It's the day that the Holy Spirit was busy once again
Today is Pentecost. Most of the time when you say Pentecost in church today, people may not necessarily know what you're talking about. When you use a word like that, I've had people ask me, what does that mean? What is that? Well, today is the birthday of the church. And God has given us an awesome opportunity to be a part of it. Those first 120 people in that room sharing a meal, spending time together, and a rushing wind came in. I was always amazed at a rushing wind and fire at the same time. Now only God could pull that off, correct? The second chapter of the book of Acts, we read about the beginning of this church. The first chapter tells us of Jesus meeting the disciples on the Mount of Olives. You've seen some of our pictures from our trip to the Holy Land. We stood on the Mount of Olives. Even to this day, I felt chills. It was a special place. Something special happened there. And he was telling them that they were to be his witnesses to all the world. But at that point, they still hadn't quite got just what he was talking about. He tells them that they're to wait in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high. Then he disappears from their sight. It's sad to say, but they really didn't quite know what to do yet, did they? They had been through a lot with Jesus, but he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait and pray. Our scripture this morning does come from the second chapter of Acts. It's a little bit lengthy, but I think it's worth reading this morning. There are a few more even after verse 13 that I would like to read for you this morning. Hear these words. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But here we go. But others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him, and among you. As you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. There's a lot going on in that scripture. It wouldn't be just like some of those in the room saying, "These dudes are drunk." But Peter's saying it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. I imagine you could get drunk by 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. But I would think you probably could. But he stood up for them, because they were filled with excitement and joy that prevailed on that day. Their excitement and joy. I have a story for you. A famous motivational speaker was asked about what was his most difficult group to talk to. "Well," he said, "I was at a national convention for undertakers. And my topic was for me to explain to them how they could look so sad during a $20,000 funeral." You see, when you're filled with joy, a lot of times it's hard to hide that, isn't it? So he had to teach these undertakers how to look sad when they were making so much money. I don't know if any of you remember Irma Bombeck. Probably you do. Some of you younger folks may not. Irma Bombeck told a story of a little boy in church. He was a good little boy, quiet, well-behaved. But periodically he would stand up in the middle of church and turn around and smile and wave at the people behind him. This went on for a number of times, and his mother didn't really realize what he was doing. His smile was infectious. And soon everyone behind him began to smile. When the mother realized what the boy had done, she grabbed him by the ear and twisted it and pulled him down into the seat. Then he started crying and sniffling. And she turned and said to him, "That's better, we're in church." Do you get the feeling that sometimes we come to church expecting doom and gloom? This first church didn't expect that, did they? They were filled with joy. Overwhelming joy. So much so that people thought they were drunk. I've been pretty happy, but I don't think anyone's ever accused me of being drunk on joy or happiness. So it just leads you to believe what was going on there that day. Powerful stuff. Because these early Christians found that unspeakable joy that comes through the church of Jesus Christ. Again and again, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." We're a pretty lively church. We have nice, lively music. Are we a joy-filled church? I think we are. I think we do pretty well on that. We have a little one that wants to stand up and smile at those around him. That's okay. Mom, don't twist his ear. It's okay. Especially for children, we see the joy in them sometimes we lose as adults. Now we can hear what many of us think, I think, happened on that first day. Do you think Simon Peter got the apostles together and we're going to have a meeting and decide about starting this church? Now, this could have been a Methodist church. Since we're Methodists, I can talk about them.
You think Peter called a meeting and told them, well, we're here today to talk about whether or not to start a church. They discuss it for a while. And then James makes a motion. And John seconds that motion. And they vote. They vote, let's start a church in Jerusalem. It didn't happen that way, did it? The Holy Spirit came in like a blowing of a violent wind. Where was that wind from? That wind was from heaven. That's where that wind came from. God started the church that day. God created the church that day. God brought the church into being that first day. It's not our church, is it? It's God's church. This is God's church. This is the work that God has called those first people to. And He continues to call us to that same work today. And this is not Lakeside United Methodist Church's sole purpose, is this building and to have this place. But our purpose here is to spread the good news, to share the good news. The first thing, the thing that went on that day was about what? Communication. We hear of all those tongues being spoken by people that have never heard that language before. I know in our churches today we talk about speaking in tongues. Especially in Methodist churches, that kind of freaks us out a little bit because we don't quite understand what that's all about. But this speaking in tongues was speaking languages of those gathered there with them. All these names that I read out, read from this book, they all spoke a different language. You know, today we use our own native tongue for the most part. Those of us that are bilingual, that maybe preach in Spanish, or maybe hillbilly. But we're very limited, I think, in a lot of ways, of how we reach out to others. Today we're grinding it out. You know what that means? We're grinding this out. We're grinding the message out. We're translating Scripture into different languages. Wycliffe Bible Translators. Nancy and I have gone to some of those things and we support them. But they're translating the Bible into every dialect on the planet. Wow, that's amazing work. Why do we do that? We do that so we can get the Word of God to people that have never heard the Word of God. And we must do whatever it is we can do to help that. You know, the mission has never changed. You would think the church had evolved over the years, but that we have the same message and the same mission that God came on that day and filled it with the Holy Spirit. That Spirit should fill us. The moment we become a Christian, the moment we say, I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ, that's the day that God commissions each of us to share a simple message. You know, folks, sometimes we make it a lot harder than it needs to be. I've told you here before, it's about just talking to people. It might be just talking to your neighbor. It might be someone you meet in the parking lot at Publix. I've told you of my experiences at gas stations. It can be anywhere. Any of you ever heard of Rockin' Rollin' Stewart? Nobody knows Rockin' Rollin' Stewart? Has anyone seen a John 3:16 sign at a major sporting event? Anyone seen that? Well, you don't see it much anymore because his life has tumbled out of control. But Rockin' Rollin' Stewart, he was a drunk. He was an alcoholic. But he met Jesus. And Jesus put him to work. He put him to work. He accepted Jesus as a Savior and became a Christian. God healed him of his alcoholism. One day the idea struck him that, hey, if I could get into a major sporting event and hold up an old sheet with some scratchings on it, I could reach a lot of people. How many of you either knew someone or maybe you yourself went and grabbed your Bible and said, wait a minute, what does that mean? You might say he reached more people than probably Billy Graham did. Now, Billy Graham could draw a crowd. He could fill up a stadium. But he didn't fill up stadiums on a regular basis. Like sporting events do. So for a number of years, Rock and Roland Stewart and his wife Margaret and a friend of theirs named William James lived a very spartan life. They averaged driving 55,000 miles a year in an old beat-up van and using their money to tell the story of Jesus Christ. They would hang out the old sheet with John 3:16 on it. I bet there was tens of thousands of people that opened the Bible, maybe for the first time in their life, for nothing else, out of curiosity. What did John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's all we have to tell people. He had an amazing ministry. And a lot of people came to the Word of God through Rock and Roland Stewart. That may not be for every one of us, but you know we all have a part in that. When we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, God expects us to do a little bit in return. And it's not that hard. It's just talking to people. That's the mission of the church today. We have a lot of big plans in churches, not just here, but most churches have these big, grandiose ideas about how can we reach literally millions of people. I like the story of the starfish. You've probably heard it. It's an old story. A little boy was walking along the beach after a storm, and there's literally thousands of starfish on the beach. But he would walk along and pick one up and throw it out in the ocean. Walk a little farther, pick one up and throw it out in the ocean. As he walked down the beach, he came upon an old man sitting in a chair. The old man said, son, why are you doing that? That's not doing any good. The little boy said, well, it may not be doing any good to all of them, but it's doing good to the one that I picked up and threw back in. We do what we can. The little boy knew that it would make a difference to the one that he threw back in. That's what we've been called to do. And when we do that, we suddenly become a part of what? A new society. We have new people to hang out with when we become Christians. We have people that should be on the same journey that we are. I just had a conversation last night with someone in the hospital suffering from a very severe case of cancer and now spreading the brain. Really a bad, tough situation. Their spirituality is very strong. Their faith is strong. But this lady's husband told me that I don't really have to go to church to have good, strong faith. And I'm glad we were able in that conversation to turn it around. Now, granted, they have a supportive family. They have people praying for them, great numbers of people praying. But what I was able to express to him in a kind of a roundabout way, you don't ever want to just be blunt with people. But your church family, your community of faith, would you want maybe 10 people praying for you, or would you want 1,000 people praying for you? Kind of in his eyes, he thought, my wife and I pray about this, that's enough. And it is, in many ways. But wouldn't it be nice to have a family of Christ that supports you and come around you and lift you up and are there for every other need? That's what belonging to church means. It's having this family, this relationship with other believers. If you have a 5-ton pile of dirt to move, you want some help? Or, no, I got this. I'd like some help, wouldn't you? Absolutely. So we've been given our duty on that first anniversary of the church, the starting of the church. People were called to a mission. I hate to say it's boring, but we've been stuck with the same mission all this time. Is that a good thing? That's a great thing. Because what we're doing is telling people where their salvation is to come from. These same folks, and I talk to these folks periodically as well, that have no hope. They get cancer or have something very seriously wrong with them, and they think, all right, the light switch is going to go off and we're done. And they're usually pretty down in the dumps about that observation. But I have also been in a room with someone that knows who their Lord and Savior is because someone took the time to share and to spend time with them. That have what we saw in this early church, the joy on their face. Because they know what's in store for them. You think about it, we're here for a short time. In the blink of an eye, we're gone. But a lot can happen in the blink of an eye. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we're called to do as the church. The Word of God tells us the world changed after Pentecost. And the world is continuing to change for Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're lonely, tired, feel taken advantage of, beat up by the world, know that within these walls are people just like you. We all come here to share together. We all suffer from the same warts, scrapes, scratches. But we find love and acceptance in the Church of Jesus Christ. We should see each other in a different light as Christians. The postscript on Rock and Roland Stewart. As he got more well known and more famous, you might say, his spiritual life deteriorated and he ended up in prison. And you might ask, what success is in that story? For that period of time that he held up a sign of John 3:16, he affected a lot of people, didn't he? God can use a drunk. God can use me. God can use you. He can use the most flawed vessels that mankind has been able to create. He can even use us. So that's what's important about Pentecost. Two things. We were given a gift that day. We were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we were given a mission. And that mission continues today. It's what we've been called to do. So that's our take-home message today. Pentecost is why we're here. That's why we're in church today. Come and spend time in fellowship and to get our batteries charged for what we're sent out into the world to do. I want you to take that home with you today. Take home the message that the Holy Spirit spilled out upon them that day. Our message is the same. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Alright, our closing hymn today, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Please stand as we sing. It's number 334 in your hymnal. Do it two times. Mission field. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.